Radio, the home of explanations. John, I just got an email from Tiffany. She's waiting. So if you have that opportunity, that'd be great. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Happy to serve you this morning. Is that one you want me to take while you're out, or what do you want to do? It's up to you.
You can if you want.
Absolutely. And you don't even have to. Yeah, we'll just go right to it. Good morning. You're on More Than Money.
Hi, Gene. Great show.
Thank you, sir.
I have a question. I'm probably not going to get it out exactly right, but I think you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I've read in the past that there's a certain date, and I think we're getting close to it, where they tell you don't buy stocks because you're buying into a distribution. Does that make sense?
It does, but it does not apply to stocks. It applies to mutual funds.
Okay, well, that's what I'm thinking of, shares of mutual funds.
Yes, you're absolutely right, and a lot of folks are unaware that at the end of the year, many mutual funds, I would hazard a guess to say the majority of mutual funds, send out the bulk of their profits in a distribution. Many of them are done in late November. Many of them are done in December. And sadly, what would happen if you send them, I'm picking a number, $10,000, and they declare a distribution of 10%, in December, even though you've only owned the mutual fund for 5 seconds, you must now pay taxes on a $1,000 distribution, even though you've fundamentally made no money. So if you're investing outside of an IRA, if you're doing it outside of that umbrella, because inside the IRA, of course, it's Mox Nix. You're not going to be taxed anyway. Certainly not until you withdraw it. But for most mutual funds, they have what are known as distribution dates. And if you're interested in a particular mutual fund towards the end of the year, you've got to look very carefully at that date. Make sure you don't buy that fund just prior to that date. Make sure you're buying that fund after that date. And to be ultimately safe, of course, you could wait until after January 1st, and then you're in good stead. But yes, mutual funds, it is a nasty little quirk of the tax law that when they send out those distributions, they go to everyone who owns the shares, whether you had them for a year or whether you had them for a day, and it can get kind of nasty.
Okay, now you said you're safe with an IRA. Does that include a Roth IRA?
It absolutely does. You're absolutely right, because you're under that umbrella that says you do not pay tax until you make a distribution. And under the Roth umbrella, of course, you don't pay tax currently. You don't pay tax when you take the money out. So you've got both Roth and standard. Even inside a 401k, a lot of folks have 401ks. All of those are safe. It's the monies that you're investing that are outside of those protected accounts that you have to worry about.
Fantastic. Thanks, Gene.
It's not a problem. And by the way, if you're concerned about how to figure that out, I'm going to use T. Rowe Price as an example. If you go to their website, they are almost inevitably are going to list the distribution dates for the particular funds. You can go to Vanguard, Fidelity, T. Rowe, and get that information. And again, if you're struggling with that, just give our office a call. We'll be glad to help.
Super. Thanks again.
Thanks. You take care. God bless. God bless indeed. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com. We have an email. Let's see, it's from somebody named Tiffany going, hey, I can't get the hell in the office. What the hell's going on? It doesn't say, it just says, hey, I'm here. Good morning, young ladies. Step right up to the microphone.
Good morning, Gene.
How are you?
I'm fine. A little chilly.
Now that you're inside, I'll bet you're even better.
Yes, I am.
So that's fantastic. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Always good to see you. Always good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And for those of you just checking in with us, that's Tiffany Schutte. She's our reverse mortgage expert. She's been with us many, many times in the past, and she's the person that we turn to when we have questions about reverse mortgages. She's the person that our clients turn to when they have questions about reverse mortgages, because her philosophy is as is ours. We'll give you all the information you need to make the best decision for you.
Exactly. This is a great option to consider along with your other options.
So the only way to consider stuff is to evaluate how does it work.
Exactly.
Does it fit for me? What are my goals? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to go into some detail. Reverse mortgage, one of the most popular topics that we ever talk about on More Than Money, because so many folks have heard good things.
Yes.
So many folks have heard not such good things. There's so much misinformation out there.
Exactly. There are so many misconceptions.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of folks who are saying, it sounds really good, but I'm not really sure about the mechanics. I don't really know how it works. So there's something that we need to take a close look at. Mr. John, thank you, sir. Very good. 610-720-7900. We'll go ahead and take the first call, John. We'll talk to Jim. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, my son's he just turned 18 a few months ago, and, you know, he's looking to start investing and doing something, and he's looking to, you know, maybe start with about $7,000, and I'm just wondering where's a good place for him to start.
Well, first of all, congratulations to your son. 18 years old, has already saved a lot of money. There are a lot of 38-year-olds who don't have $7,000 saved. So please tell your son from me that my hat is off to him, that's a fantastic accomplishment. What is your son's immediate future? Is it going to be college? Is it going to be military? Is it going to be a job?
He's in college now, and then he'll be there for a while. You know, he just started, so... Yep, he's going into college for neuroscience.
Wow. All right, so there's a whole bunch of folks listening out there right now going, could I introduce his son to my daughter?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
This is a great kid, smart, saves money. Whoa, this is great stuff. Jim, investing is a long-term, long-term approach, a long-term process. Your son is 18. In the near term, I've got two daughters in college myself, there are things that are going to come up that he may need that money for. It may be a car. It may be, hey, I'm getting ready to graduate and I need a professional wardrobe so that I can enter the workforce. It may be down payment on a house. These are relatively short term. And if any of those apply to your son, he should not invest his money. He should put that in the bank. He should hang on to it where it's safe and sound. It'll make a teeny tiny bit of interest, but it'll be 100% safe. If, on the other hand, your son is saying, or you and your son are saying, no, I get that. This is money that we don't expect to need, that we don't expect he's going to need for those reasons. This is very long-term money. Then you've got one of two choices. You can go a Roth IRA route, and he's allowed to put in just over $5,000 a year in a Roth IRA, and that would allow him to put that away tax-free for almost an eternity. It's probably going to be in there 50 years compounding tax-free for his retirement. But that's an extremely long-term investment. If he wants something that's kind of in the middle, a good quality mutual fund is a very, very good way to start. $7,000 will give him an entrance into a mutual fund. It will give him professional investment management. It'll give him liquidity. It'll give him some education in the investments in the stock market. It's a really, really good way to start with a relatively small amount of money and get an awful lot of bang for his buck.
And you think the mutual fund over an ETF?
I think I'm a bit more of a fan of a mutual fund for someone who's this young, because if you're in a, if you have done some research and you've gotten yourself in a good position with a good mutual fund, with a good mutual fund manager or management group, I think they're going to have a better opportunity to get a higher rate of return than an ETF. Most ETFs are indexed. So if the S&P goes up, you go up. If it goes down, you go down. An actively managed fund has someone or some group of people who are very, very smart at the helm, who will be making decisions along the way. If they're as good as we hope, they're going to do better than the index. So I think, and of course, if you choose a group, I'm picking Vanguard kind of just off the shelf. If you choose a group like Vanguard, you could do both. You could take that $7,000. He could have half of his money in an actively managed fund. They could have half of his managed in a Vanguard ETF and play both ends against the middle.
Huh, that's a good idea. Okay.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, I really appreciate the advice. Thank you.
It's my absolute pleasure. And first of all, please thank your son for us for being a great kid and being on the right track. And have a great Thanksgiving.
Will do, and you do the same. Thank you.
God bless. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. Let's go to the phones. We've got Tom on the line, and it appears his question has something to do with reverse mortgage, so we'll get Tiffany involved here. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Dan. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
My pleasure, sir. How may we serve you?
All right. I'm 76 years old. My wife is 75. We both collect Social Security, and we both have a part-time job, which we are about to give up.
Okay.
We do not have a retirement income, but we have got two annuities. And both of the annuities we haven't touched in years except for the mandatory that they send us.
Sure.
My question would be, the debt benefits on these annuities is almost double the cash value.
Okay.
And my question was, I got a home that's worth $380,000 with no mortgage.
Okay.
And I was considering taking a reverse mortgage and leave the annuities alone to capitalize one day on the death benefit.
That's an interesting idea. Tom, I've got Tiffany with me, so she's going to talk to you. Now, Tiffany, I'm going to have you speak very close to the microphone.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Tiffany, how are you?
I'm fine.
That you were there.
Oh, it's perfect timing. Well, Tom, the reverse mortgage, of course, it would be a good option for you. The amount of money you have available with a reverse mortgage depends on a couple of factors. One of the factors is the youngest homeowner's age.
75.
So based on your age and a property value of $380,000, you would have approximately 50% of the value of your home to turn into usable funds with a reverse mortgage. And how you can structure that, let's say just for round numbers, you would have about $200,000 available. You can leave that money in a line of credit and draw from it when you need it. And that can, of course, increase the sustainability of your other investments. You can look at this as another source of retirement funds to draw from when needed.
Right.
Tom, can I ask a question?
Yes.
If you added the death benefits of the two annuities together, what would that amount be roughly?
The death benefits would be roughly $300,000, maybe a little more.
Okay, so if I'm understanding Tiffany correctly and your situation correctly, you could borrow or create a line of credit of about $190,000, roughly.
Right.
You could draw against that as you needed it to support you and your wife over the next 20 or 30 years. You folks are young. You're only in your mid-70s, so you're going to be around a long time. And then at your passing, I'm assuming you have children.
Yes.
At your passing.
Yeah, with that said, they're both pretty well off. They don't need it, but we would still like to give them the maximum amount that we can.
Well, I understand 100%. So at your passing, your kids now have a couple options. They have your home with the reverse mortgage balance, whatever that may be,
at the time
that needs to be paid for. But they're also getting the death benefit from your annuities. They could, if they wished, take that death benefit, use a piece of that to pay off the reverse mortgage, and have your home free and clear. Or they could sell your home, pay off the reverse mortgage, and have the $300,000 from the annuities free and clear.
Exactly.
Right.
So they would have a lot of options there.
Okay. Well, this is my thinking, was to preserve the death benefit.
Tom, I hear you. And death benefit for folks in their mid-70s, that's tough to come by.
Right.
And you've got it.
Yeah.
So I hear you. I would want to hang on to that myself.
Okay, well, that's answered. I got another question. If I take a reverse mortgage, could I pay the interest at the end of the year for each year that I have the reverse mortgage so the interest don't compound?
You can. There are no prepayment penalties at all with a reverse mortgage. And you are exactly right when you say the interest will compound. Of course, you're not required to make payments. So the interest that is accumulating on the amount of money that you've advanced from your reverse mortgage, yes, it is compounding, but you certainly have the option to pay the interest. You can pay that monthly. If your desire is to keep the balance low, you can certainly do that. You can pay it yearly. You can pay it monthly.
Right. That'll make my decision a lot better because I didn't want to have a lot of compounded interest because I know how that adds up.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. And, Tom, you've got the option of paying that interest in a given year if you wish. Mm-hmm. And the next year you can change your mind and not pay it. So you've got a lot of options yourself as you manage the reverse mortgage through your lifetime.
Exactly. And you would be very well informed because with a reverse mortgage, just like a traditional mortgage, you would receive a monthly statement every month. And that monthly statement will show you exactly how much interest accumulated from the prior month. So you can manage that. A lot of people think of it as a mortgage with optional payment plans. You certainly are not required to make a payment, but you certainly can if that's your desire.
Okay. Well, I'm very glad I called. I got some good information.
Very good, Tom.
I think you made my decision easy for me.
And Tom, if you need any more additional information, just you reach out to us, and, of course, we'll give you contact information before the end of the show. We're happy to help.
I'll definitely do that.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Tom.
God bless. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
God bless. 610-720-7900, Gene and AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com, our guest in the studio, Tiffany Schutte. You've been doing reverse mortgages since you were in junior high school?
Exactly.
A long time.
Very, very long time.
And make sure you stay near the microphone.
Or 13 years.
13 years is good, too.
Yes, yes.
Going into her 14th. 13's a number gives me
the willies.
My wife and I didn't have a 13th anniversary. We started our 14th year. We had our 12th anniversary,
idea.
And then we started our 14th.
Exactly. That's a great idea.
Because it gives me the willies.
Heebie-jeebies.
I'm going to ask in a moment the basics of a reverse mortgage. We assume everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
No, lots of folks don't. But I promised John that I would answer for this young lady who had called earlier, and she's a little shy. So she gave John her question. She's 75 years old. She has a Roth IRA. She's still working. God bless her. And wondered if she could still add to her Roth IRA. And the answer is yes. And that surprises a lot of people because they have heard the rule that you may not add to a Roth IRA once you've turned age 70. And that is true of the standard IRA. A standard IRA, once you hit age 70, no more contributions, no matter what your circumstance. 401k you can still add to, and a Roth IRA. So for that young lady, I hope that's good news. I mean, she's still working. Goodness. Tiffany.
Yes.
The idea of a reverse mortgage is, it's actually fairly simple.
It truly is. And as we discussed, like you had said earlier, Gene, there are so many misconceptions out there about the reverse mortgage program. But it is truly a mortgage with an optional payment plan.
It's a mortgage. So if you
exactly.
know what a mortgage is, you already mm-hmm. know the fundamentals of a reverse mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
The bank is going to lend you money. At some point, it's got to be paid back.
Exactly.
With a reverse mortgage, you have this neat little wrinkle, which is if you want to make a payment, you do.
You are exactly right.
And if
so
you don't,
one of the biggest misconceptions out there is people will think, oh, the bank or the government is going to own my home. That is just simply not true. It is a mortgage. It's a lien that is placed on your home, just as it would be with any other type of home equity loan or conventional mortgage. The big difference, of course, is there are no monthly mortgage payments to make as long as one of the homeowners is still living in the home. Like Gene said, you do have the option of making those payments. Of course, you have to continue to pay your taxes and your homeowner's insurance, just as you always have.
Of course.
A lot of people actually use the reverse mortgage to help with expenses such as taxes and homeowner's insurance. The other difference between reverse mortgages and conventional mortgages is there is no term on a reverse mortgage as there would be on a traditional mortgage. There would be a 15, 20, or 30-year term. With a reverse mortgage, the loan is not due until the last homeowner is no longer living in the home.
So let's pick on Tom and his bride for a moment. He's 76, she's 75. It is very hopeful they're with us another 25 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Miracles of modern science and technology. So if they were to take on their current $380,000 home, the maximum amount, roughly $190,000.
Roughly. Yes, exactly.
There's mm-hmm. other calculations we got to factor in there, but mm-hmm. use that as a good number. They could use that in lots of different ways, take the whole amount out and go spend it. They can take it out as needed.
Mm-hmm.
But if they choose to, they don't have to pay anything back until whichever one is the surviving spouse has now passed to the next dimension.
Exactly. And borrowers retain ownership of their home, like I said, exactly as they would with a traditional mortgage. They can sell their home at any time. They mm-hmm. decide to sell their home. That is when the loan is paid back using the proceeds from the sale, and whatever's left, of course, goes to them. But what more commonly happens with reverse mortgages, clients do this because they like to stay in their home, when their estate sells the home. That is when the reverse mortgage is paid back, and
Fantastic.
Whatever's left from the sale goes to the estate.
Is there any restrictions on what they can use the proceeds from the reverse mortgage for?
They can use the proceeds for any purpose that they would like. The only restriction, FHA, of course, this is an FHA-insured government loan. They do put a restriction on the amount of money you can draw within the first 12 months.
Okay.
Usually, unless, of course, the borrower has a mortgage that would need to be paid off, then we will advance them that money to pay off the mortgage, of course, okay. if there are enough proceeds available.
Okay.
But in Tom and his wife's case, if they have $190,000 available, they may only be able to access $80,000 of that line of credit or the available funds within the first 12 months. That is the only restriction. The beginning of the 13th month of their reverse mortgage, they will have access to the rest of their remaining funds.
So in this particular, again, we're using them mm-hmm. as a great example.
Yes, it was a perfect phone call.
380, we can borrow roughly 190. Mm-hmm. I can take 80 in the first 12 months. I could take the 110 in the second 12 months.
Exactly. If that's what you so chose to do,
and
you certainly can.
That's if it fits. That's
exactly.
if it fits their goals, their needs.
Right.
Because for most folks, not for most, erase that. For many people, mm-hmm. that doesn't fit.
Right.
They want to pull it out a bit at a time, bit at
exactly.
a time. A little supplement. Hey, I need $500 this month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need $80,000.
Exactly. And you can set it up where you would receive what's called a lifetime or a 10-year payment. You would qualify for a certain amount of money. You wouldn't have to request money from your line of credit. You would just automatically receive a check every month.
Autopilot.
But, yep. Most people do like the line of credit. It's just more flexible. They take what they need when they need it.
We're going to talk, obviously, we're going to talk more to Tiffany Schutte after the break, but I want to make sure that you understand that we're going to be talking about some of the things that might be very wise for you to consider using a reverse mortgage for. Some of the recent law changes.
Yes.
They've again, a couple things there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always changing. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
If you have questions about reverse mortgages or about anything else in your financial life, 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. We're back with you after this on More Than Money. Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. It's November the 18th, the Saturday before Thanksgiving. We wish you the very, very, very happiest and most blessed Thanksgiving with lots of friends and family around you. The following Tuesday, November the 28th, Laughing at My Nightmare, a local nonprofit, wonderful young people, Shane and Sarah Burkaw. Actually, Shane Burkaw. Sarah's not a Burkaw anymore. She's married. Sergey captured her. He's one lucky guy. She is fantastic. Sarah and Shane will be presenting their message of positivity at, I believe, Blue. I've got to go on the website and double check that. But laughinginmynightmare.com, Gene will be there with lots and lots of friends. We would love to have you there as well. And 2 weeks from today, please join us at the More Than Money World Headquarters in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth. As we celebrate the holidays and we thank you. Lots of cool stuff. Obviously, the coffees, the teas, and the neat stuff to eat. We got all that. But John will be there. John's mom will be there. We hope that mom will be there. That'd be great. Maybe the auntie will be there. Possibly. Lots of good folks will be there. We hope you will be as well. Joining me in the studio this morning, Tiffany Schutte. Reverse mortgages, they can be wonderful.
Yes.
They can be dreadful.
In the right situation.
Thank you so much. That's all we need to say, really. It's the reverse mortgage equivalent of it depends.
Right.
If a individual or a couple can explain to you their circumstance, you can, with a little bit of work, a little bit of discussion.
Exactly.
Determine whether it's a good fit, not a good fit. Give me an example of a situation you would say it's really not a good fit. Yeah.
If you the reverse mortgage program was designed more of a long-term solution. The reverse mortgage is not a good short-term loan.
Very good.
And if a client explained their situation to me, and of course we have discussions, we have phone discussions, then we have the initial meeting, and we can determine if this is a good fit for them. But a short-term loan, if the borrower is planning on selling the home in a short amount of time, there are closing costs involved with the reverse mortgage, as there are with any other type of mortgage,
of
especially government mortgages.
Sure.
The closing costs are financed through the loan and ultimately paid back at the end. But because of that, because of what they call the front-loaded closing costs, it is not a good short-term loan. If a borrower is going to sell their home in a short amount of time, I would tell them they may be better off of course, not doing this if you're planning on selling your home in a short amount of time.
Sure.
And also, if you only need a small amount of money, say $8,000-$10,000 maybe to fix your roof, buy a new car, then you may want to just do a quick home equity line of credit.
There you go. Using simple numbers, because it's Saturday and I don't want to get a headache. Assume that we're working with a family. They have roughly a $200,000 home,
which is around the average.
They can roughly borrow $100,000, roughly.
Right.
What would the closing cost be?
Based on, and the closing costs have recently changed. That is one of the changes that happened as of October 2nd. For some clients, the closing costs have gone up, and for some clients, the closing costs have gone down.
Okay.
And it depends on your equity situation.
Okay.
The average closing cost for a borrower with a $200,000 home is roughly around $8,000.
Okay.
Now, people may say, oh my goodness, $8,000, but a big part of that, 2% of that actually, and it's 2% of your property value, is what's called the upfront FHA mortgage insurance premium.
Ah, very good.
That goes directly to FHA. In this case, it would be $4,000, and that is for the purpose of insuring the loan.
Let me stop you there for a second, because we had a young lady, too shy to talk on the radio, who was asking this exact question. She understands there's interest on the mortgage. That's a given.
With any mortgage,
Because she heard it's a mortgage.
Right.
We
Nobody
got
lends
that.
Money for free.
Exactly. It's a mortgage, so it's interest. She wanted to know what the other fees were. So a big chunk of this is insurance. What do they get for that insurance?
The reason this loan is FHA insured, the reason it has to be FHA insured, is because of the non-recourse feature. The HECM, or the Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, which is the proper name, the HECM bill was actually signed into law in 1989 by Ronald Reagan. And when that bill was signed into law, it became a non-recourse loan because of the government insurance.
What does that mean?
And what that means is you can never owe more than what your home sells for. And that is very important because we're basing the amount of money you have available on your property value at the time of closing.
Okay.
The unknown is what's going to happen to property values in the future. What your home is worth now, say 20, 25 years from now, it could be worth a lot less.
So let's go back to, Tom had called in the last half hour. He has a $380,000 house. He can borrow roughly, and I keep saying roughly because there are calculations and you got to get appraisals and you get, it's a government program. You've got to pay attention to the details. So let's assume, just for the sake of demonstration, that over the first 2 years, he does borrow $190,000. There's closing costs that are going to be added to that initial amount that he owes, and interest is going to accrue every year. Now, let's wish Tom and his wife a long
healthy
healthy life. and he is footloose, fancy free. The two of them are fantastic. And at exactly age 100, 25 years from now, mm-hmm. they disappear in a puff of smoke. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. That was Hi-Oh Silver. That was the Lone Ranger. Sorry. That's Tonto. Tonto in Toronto. Exactly. Sorry. My apologies. That 190 plus has accumulated to some number, I'm picking a number out of thin air, $500,000.
Okay.
At that point, Tom's home might be worth 500. It might be worth 800. It might be worth 300.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's walk through each of those three. Mm-hmm. It's worth 500 and he owes 500. Even I think I can figure this one out. it's a wash.
It's a wash, exactly. Exactly.
The good one, the one that everybody hopes for, is it's worth 800. Mm-hmm. He owes 500. What happens to the extra 300?
The difference, of course, goes to the estate. It's just like a just conventional
just like any other mortgage.
Exactly.
So if today, no reverse mortgage, assume that my home has a mortgage on it if I pass away, mm-hmm. of course the bank wants to be paid.
First lien position.
And they're going to get paid, and my heirs will get whatever's left.
Exactly.
Let's go to the last one, though.
Yes.
He owes 500. For whatever reason, economics, the world, it's now worth 300.
Mm-hmm.
Who pays the extra 200?
FHA. And that is why the loan is FHA insured. And like I said, it's a non-recourse loan. The family or the borrower, depending on who sells the home, of course, can never owe more than what the home is worth. And if there is... That they are underwater in that example.
Thank you so much. Because I'm sorry, Tom. Mm-hmm. I've been killing Tom off this whole time. And that's dreadful. So 15 years from now, when Tom is 90, he has borrowed 190 plus mm-hmm. closing costs. It's now, we now owe 400. And sadly, he wants to, well, not sad, joyously, he wants to sell his home because he's going to Florida.
Maybe.
He's
mm-hmm.
going to get warm.
Yep.
And he decides he's going to sell. Turns out it's only worth $250
because of whatever happened for with whatever, the market for
and,
whatever
and,
reason.
And he's on the hook for $100. Oh no, he's not.
Exactly. The interest has accumulated, and he can never owe more. No matter who sells the home, at what point you can never owe more than what the home sells for.
And the children are never on the hook.
Exactly. Cannot attach any other assets.
We had a discussion over the last couple of weeks about the fact that in the state of Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. the courts have ruled that children are responsible for their parents' medical and long-term care expenses. So if mom and dad die and they leave behind $100,000 in Medicaid bills, nursing home bills, et cetera, kids are responsible. Flipping kidding me? When did that come? It's been around for a while, the last couple of years.
I've started to hear about that recently.
So if we had a family meeting, mm-hmm. and let's say Tom and his wife are together with the kids, and the kids are in their 50s, roughly, and we're understanding that you realize that if something goes horribly wrong with me or mom or both, you guys are on the hook. Whoa.
Exactly.
Well, this is not good. Mm-hmm. How do we protect ourselves? Long-term care insurance is often a solution that people look at. But if you're sitting there going, I got no money, mm-hmm. The kids are sitting there going, I got kids in college. Yep. I'm writing bills that would choke a moose.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can turn to the equity in mom and dad's house.
Exactly. Which is a wonderful idea, and a lot of that fits perfectly into a lot of situations. I work with a number of advisors, and that is one of the reasons why people do look to the reverse mortgage.
Fascinating stuff. Mm-hmm. Fascinating stuff. Recent changes.
Mm-hmm.
You were kind enough to send me the outline, and it's remarkably straightforward. We could go through them, and most of our listeners would fall asleep before the end of the show. So we're not going to do that.
Right.
But your commitment to educating folks who are considering a reverse, tell them what that process looks like. Hey, I think maybe, but I'm not sure.
Right.
Is that okay to call Tiffany when maybe, but I'm not sure?
Oh, my goodness. That is how most of my clients do call me. We have the initial phone discussion. You know, people hear about the reverse mortgage. They'll hear about it from different advertisements on television, and they're very curious. They just don't understand a lot about it. They give me a call. We have an initial phone conversation. Then if they would like to meet with me, I will meet with them, of course, at their nearest bank branch or what. Generally, I go to their homes. We go over numbers. I show them different projections. Of course, I am there to answer all of their questions. This is an initial meeting to learn about the program.
Very good.
If we determine it is a good fit, then there are the next steps. And I would walk them, of course, through that. But sure. It is a learning. It's a learning process.
Would you be comfortable? And again, I keep picking on Tom because Tom's call was perfect timing with a great question that's exactly on topic for this morning. If Tom said to you, I would like you to come over and speak to me and my wife, of course you would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
What if he said, I would like you to talk to me and my wife and my son and daughter?
I encourage the children to be involved.
Oh, very good.
In the conversation. I encourage it. Of course, we cannot require it.
No.
Some people are very private. But yes, I encourage the children to be involved in the discussion.
So if they had maybe a financial advisor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They can be involved. If they had an accountant that's got questions from a tax standpoint,
yes, their attorney. I frequently meet at attorney's offices.
Very, very good.
And we go through the program.
Speaking of taxes, one of the things that absolutely blows people away often, again, we pick on Tom, $380,000 house. He's getting roughly $190,000 out over a 2-year period. And he turns to his advisor, his accountant, and says, how much of that do we have to pay in taxes?
This is considered loan proceeds. It is not income. There are no tax consequences. Of course, you're going to want to, disclaimer, contact your tax advisor, but this is loan proceeds. There are no tax consequences on taking money from your line of credit. A line of credit is not an asset.
And Tiffany makes a very, very good point. Please consult with your tax advisor. She's not saying... don't worry about everything. It'll be all right. Don't worry. No, she's saying, please consult. And here's the reason. Even though we understand that these are loan proceeds, they are not taxable, they may have an impact. There may be other services that you're getting that if you have certain assets,
exactly,
it could have an impact.
Right. It could affect some needs-based programs if that is your situation.
Very good.
A line of credit, you could have a $200,000 line of credit. That is not an asset. But if you take a $100,000 lump sum from that, put it in your checking account, it's then an asset. And it could affect needs-based programs. So we suggest you have this line of credit. You use the money as you need it. You get a $2,000 school tax bill, take it from your line of credit and pay the bill. So yes, there are situations that you would want to avoid with your reverse mortgage proceeds.
Of course. Sir? Repaying interest thank you. That's a very good question. We've had that in the past. So again, we pick on Tom because Tom asked this exact question. Hey, I ended up taking $190,000 plus out. At the end of a certain year, I owed $6,000 in interest. Is that tax deductible?
If you are not making payments on this. Now, if Tom makes payments, yes. If he makes interest payments, then of course the interest is tax deductible in that year. But if you're choosing not to make mortgage payments, which to be honest, most people do not.
Of course.
There is no interest deduction. So you want to be conscious of that too. If you're paying off a big mortgage with your proceeds, let's say Tom had a $100,000 mortgage.
Right.
Had $190,000 available. He owed $100,000 on his conventional mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
We would use $100,000 of that to pay off his conventional mortgage, which of course would eliminate that monthly mortgage payment. So it's improving his cash flow. But he will be losing his mortgage interest tax deductions.
Okay, hang on one second. Hang on.
We didn't even get that far.
A horsey ride over there, Tonto. So let's describe a situation that's a little different than Tom's.
Yes.
We have a couple who are relatively newly retired. Let's say they're in their late 60s. Their money it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little tight. It's good because like lots of folks today in their 60s, they still have a mortgage.
They do.
They have a nice house.
Yes.
It might be, exactly, it might be $400,000. Thank you, John. And maybe the mortgage is only $100,000, but that payment, that $800, $900 a month, That's the difference between, you know what, life is pretty grand and life's a little tight.
Exactly.
A reverse mortgage, mm-hmm. if you wanted to zone in on exactly that scenario, you could pay off the reverse mortgage with a pay off the primary mortgage with a reverse mortgage, mm-hmm. have no monthly payments.
Exactly.
For as long as they stay in the home.
Exactly. And the majority of my clients still do have small mortgage balances.
Majority. Wow.
The majority of my clients do, whether it is, you know, a $30,000 balance on their home equity line of credit.
Sure. Very common.
Yeah, it is. Now, the reverse mortgage would have to pay off their first mortgage,
yes.
or their current mortgage. And yes, that would eliminate that monthly payment for them.
So, folks who are in a slightly, we've talked about wonderful circumstances, lots of equity, lots of options. What we're really discussing here is that in addition to all of that, and sadly, there are folks who enter retirement years and they're struggling because they have credit card debt. They have a line of credit. They still have a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And it has taken them to a point where maybe they're sadly thinking, I can never retire because I have this debt.
Exactly.
If they have a home, if they have equity, mm-hmm. if they have enough equity, they might be able to be completely out of debt and not have to make a monthly payment.
Exactly.
As opposed to going to these credit counselors who do God knows what.
Right. And you're exactly right, Gene. And people's life circumstances change. There could be, you know, a death of a spouse, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And then that, of course, affects your monthly income. You can still have, like I said, a small mortgage. You would be able, now there has to be enough proceeds available,
of course,
to pay off your current
mortgage.
Paying off the mortgage eliminates the
payment. Again, it goes back to mm-hmm. sitting with Tiffany,
and looking
having a conversation. And we're not talking in general terms now. We're talking specifically for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only answer that really has of any interest to any of us is for
situation.
That situation specifically. Tiffany, we're close to wrapping up. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was my absolute pleasure. I always love coming
And if folks reach out to us, I'm hopeful you'd be willing to speak with them.
Of course. I would love to speak with anyone. I love spreading the word.
And tell everybody what the charge is for meeting with you for that initial consultation.
Of course, it's absolutely nothing. I am happy to meet with anyone for a consultation.
So you hang out with good people, like More Than Money? You hang mm-hmm. out with us? I've got a minute plus or... I'm good. Okay. All that means that if you need more information about reverse mortgages, if you need more information about anything that we talked about on air today, if you've got a question that's completely separate and distinct, or if you would simply like a second opinion on your financial life, we offer all of that. That's what we do at More Than Money. All you need to do is ask. The first and easiest way is to send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. You can absolutely go on our website and contact anybody on our team by morethanmoneyonline.com. So that's an antique website, morethanmoneyonline.com. Yeah, like where else the hell would a website be than online? And you can go old school on us. You can absolutely give us a call at 610-746-7007. Again, 610-746-7007. And that takes you right into the More Than Money World Headquarters, which is where we hope you will be in 2 weeks, December 2nd, as we have our holiday open house and an opportunity just to be blunt, give you a big hug. And thanks. We're big huggers. I mean, I'm a big everything, but we're big huggers. We're big huggers. So please come and join us. That is Natalie Merchant saying thank you, and Thanksgiving coming up. It's perfectly appropriate. And of course, we're going to end up with Sly and the Family Stone. So enjoy the music. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.
Kind and generous. I don't know how you keep on giving. Thank you.
Thank you.